Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming to my channel. This is about Greek Independence Day, so happy Independence Day to all Greeks, okay? So anyway, it's felicitating and commemorating the revolution, which began in 1821 against Ottoman rule. So, eortas mos ti elnikis epantasis, okay? So, 1821, so celebrate on the 25th of March. There was someone very special to me who had a birth on the 25th of March, though she wasn't remotely Greek. So Greece is an ancient civilization, perhaps not quite the most ancient. Babylonia, Mesopotamia, now in Iraq, might be even older. But, you know, in the Western world, that's the cradle of civilizations. We used to look back to that, and so many of our intellectual words come from Greece. And then it was finally united under Alexander the Great. That fell apart, conquered by the Romans, who still respected the Greeks, despite subjugating them. And then the Roman Empire fell apart. The eastern part, Byzantium, continued speaking Greek Orthodox Christianity to gradually, from the 11th century AD, put out from the Ottoman Turks, who originated in Central Asia, to Turkmenistan, and finally in 1453, the fall of Constantinople, okay, by Mehmed Fatih, and then Greece completely annexed and so subjugated by the Ottoman Empire. Now, all empires have their credit and debit column, but I mean, the Ottoman Empire really only has a debit column. It's not like they brought any emancipation or technology advances to places they conquered. That was it, because they come from Central Asia. They didn't even have a word for harbor, just took the Greek word liman for harbor. Anyway, so the Greeks had what's happened on this dhimmi system, heavily discriminated against for being non-Muslims, had to pay extra tax and stuff like that. Some of their boys just abducted and forced to be janissaries. Yeah, the blood tax, circumcised, you know, forcibly converted to Islam, brought to speak Turkish and completely deracinated, and so on. So, yeah, they were heavily repressed. And that's why pork became such a big part of the diet in Greece and Romania and Hungary, these countries. They say the Ottomans, they will take your goats, your sheep, your horses, your chickens, your cows and stuff. They won't take your pigs because they're Mohammedans. They do not partake of pork. Anyway, so there was a large Greek community in Anatolia. And in 1821, this rebellion for independence, okay, but then the Greek community in Istanbul, some of them got killed because of it. And some of the Greeks have been really against a revolt. So it was definitely going to fail. And we're going to get it in the neck. And then the Ottomans, they coerce various Orthodox Christian hierarchs to issue a condemnation. But this rescript was simply to save their skin. They still got killed for it anyway. And there was obviously no Geneva Convention, but the Ottoman army had a particularly gruesome reputation for slaughtering huge numbers of civilians and often killing people in egregiously gruesome ways. And obviously some of the Greeks were so infuriated by these atrocities against civilians, they paid Turks back in their own coin. So it wasn't unedifying. I'm not so foolish or prejudiced to believe that all Turks are bad or all Greeks are good or anything like that. There's good and evil in every nationality. You know, if the Ottomans had treated the Greeks not bad, I would have been against rebellion and insurrection. But, you know, if ever a rebellion was justified, this is probably it. Anyway, so it was finally recognized by the various countries, the London Protocol of 1830. Greece wasn't as big as modern Greece was. And a lot of Philhellenes in Britain because of ancient Greek being part of the curriculum. So it was part of the curriculum at elite schools well in the 20th century, in France, in Germany, in most Occidental countries, in the Netherlands, even the United States, and so forth. So, yeah, that London conference, the recognition of it, but Greece was smaller in area than it is now. So 25th of March, also the Feast of the Annunciation, when the Archangel Gabriel announced to the Blessed Virgin that she shall bear a child. I am the Archangel Gabriel with an announcement to make. Unto you a child is given, unto you a son is born, you know. So behold the handmaiden of the Lord. And so that was resonated with Greece's birth, or rather rebirth, and so on. Okay, so they evangelized that for the Hellenes. And that's where Elas became free again, starting in the Peloponnese, you know, the end of that of the Greek peninsula and so on. So setting up a new government at Corinth, a small city, would be insignificant in ancient times and so on. So and remember, Egypt was formerly part of the Ottoman Empire, but largely independent by this stage. And the Ottomans, they managed to get others to take place. So, and there were Greek merchants all over the Ottoman Empire, including a lot of Romania was part of it. And so some Greeks up there, they helped to start the revolution. Some Romanians wanted independence too. So some people thought that Russia would declare war on The Ottomans, remember, the Russians had gone to war several times against Turkey. Many Russians wanted to get Constantinople back for Orthodox Christianity. Moreover, warm water port ensured they had access to the Mediterranean, because, of course, it's only 800 meters across the Bosporus as the sea flows through Istanbul, or Constantinople, as we call it. And so the Turks could easily cut Russia off their Black Sea when being unable to trade, sailing out through the Sea of Marmara, the Aegean Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, to the world, and so on. So there was fighting in Valachia as part of Romania under Ottoman rule at the time, many people would say occupation. And it's around this time that the Ottomans, they used the Acropolis in Athens, you know, the upper city, or the Parthenon, as an ammunition dump, while Lord Elgin purchased the Elgin marbles, get that firman, a special document from the Ottoman authorities, for fear it'd be blown sky high, either accidentally or deliberately. The Greeks might say, we're going to have to blow this up because we want to deprive the enemy of ammunition. Even our patrimony is wrecked. It's worth it for the freedom of our country now. And so on. They're controversial Elgin marbles. So in Greece, and likewise in Cyprus, they parade, they display the Greek national flag, which has changed a little bit at all over the time. So in Athens and in other cities, going past parliament, the present, the Hellenic Republic will be there, and part various, you know, iconic sites in Athens. So the Hellenic armed forces have an inter-services parade, as in army, navy, air forces, and civil defense parades as well. So that's it. And obviously, the focal point is Syntagma Square. All right, so schools will mark it as well. And there have been chief guests who've attended Charles III when he was Prince of Wales. He went, the Prime Minister of Russia, Mikhail Mishustin, went some years ago, a bit controversially. The French defense minister, and obviously the previous president of Cyprus, Nikos Anastasiadis, and so on. So the Greek diaspora celebrates it because they're spread all across the world. Greece wasn't a wealthy country by European standards till recently. So, like after the Second World War, we used to settle in Western European countries like France, Germany, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, or go to places like the United States, Australia, even South Africa. In the early 20th century, going to Argentina. There were Greek businessmen, you know, in Nigeria, in other African countries as well, in Zaire, as it was then, or the Belgian Congo. So Greece has made such a splendiferous contribution to world civilization, to philosophy, I suppose, to music, dancing, Zorba. I like their cuisine. Give me gyros, how do you pronounce them? George Michael, Demis Roussos, and so forth. The notion of the golden mean, architecture, classical architecture. That's why a lot of neoclassical architecture came back in Baroque. So anyway, I really want to go back to Greece. What a magnificent place. The Happy Isles of Greece by Lord Byron. And that British poet went there, fought, died at Missolonghi of an illness, and indeed saved a Turkish girl, because then the Greeks say, you barbarously murdered our children. We're going to do about the same. And he said, no, I'm going to save this child and bring her up as my daughter. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecannon@gmail.com. Goodbye.